Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back. Thursday afternoon, which means the weekend is almost here, which is good news. Because I tell you, it was a long weekend last weekend because we were all dealing with Tropical Storm Barry. We're talking about, once again, this afternoon, freedom of speech. And there are some things in the news, once again, that have reminded us that freedom of speech is a precious thing and that not everybody really does understand it. Went to the Michael Bublé concert last night and loved it. I mean, the guy's personality was really awesome. We'll talk a little bit about that in just a few minutes, but yeah, fun seeing him. So we're talking about this woman who was booed because she displayed a Trump 2020 flag in a 4th of July parade in Southern California. And her mother says that her daughter was denied freedom of speech. I guess she doesn't understand that those who booed were expressing their freedom of speech. We're also talking about some highlights of President Trump's rally in North Carolina last night that included the crowd chanting, "Send her back," meaning Congresswoman Omar. Here's a part of what President Trump had to say about AOC.
Some of them said, "We've never lived like this before. They have water. They have air conditioning. They have things that they've never seen." And we listened to her talking about drinking water from toilets, which was a lie.
He was talking about the conditions at the camps where they're holding illegals. President Trump also talked about Democrats and why you should never vote for a Democrat.
A vote for any Democrat in 2020 is a vote for the rise of radical socialism and the destruction of the American dream, frankly, the destruction of our country.
This is brilliant campaign strategy on the part of Trump. Now, are the Democrats going to stand up and explain that collectively as a party, they don't stand for socialism, unless they really do? There are socialist aspects of our government. There are people in need right now in this area of aid from the federal government, because things have changed. That could arguably be a socialist form of our government, a function of our government. So there are aspects of our government. If the government does anything for us, I guess you could argue that's socialism. But I don't see us becoming a socialist nation. And I don't think I'm naive. I don't see the signs. And this reminds me of the panic back in the 50s and 60s about how, you know, America was going to become a communist nation, and all the fear about communism. I mean, I see a parallel here. And it really is designed to instill fear in people. It's a great tactic. I just don't think it's going to happen. And it's up to the Democrats to stand up and say, hey, you know what? It's not going to happen. Here's when the crowd, and by the way, President Trump has said that he was not in favor of this chant, and he did not lead the chant, but here was the crowd chanting for Omar to go back home. And it kind of replaces the lock her up cheer from the campaign and Hillary Clinton. The crowd was also chanting, "Four more years." And here is somebody who was at the rally, and, well, she had something really interesting to say.
They're getting paid more than they were before. They have health care. And everybody has jobs. The unemployment rate is the lowest in, Jesus, as long as I've been alive. I'm 57.
Representative Kevin McCarthy, Republican from California, made this comment about the "send her back" chant.
I didn't get to see the rally, but I saw a clip. The president didn't join in any chant like that.
Yeah. I get that. So when we were talking about this on the show, I wasn't talking about President Trump saying it. I was talking about his supporters who are saying it. And they have a right to say it, but we have a right to react to it as well. From the West Bank, Don, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. How are you doing, Snoops?
I'm good.
You have a great show, man. You have a great show, and I really, really love it.
I appreciate that,
Don. And I appreciate appreciate you being honest about everything you talk about on your show.
Well, I am honest. It doesn't make a lot of people happy, but I'm honest.
Well, I know that you're not. Well, you're always going to have disgruntled people, and you're not going to please everyone. But here is the thing. The president made this comment that they don't love their country. Now, you tell me this. How can anyone make that statement? It's totally ignorant. It's foolish for someone to say that. Because no one, you, me, no one, only God knows a man's heart, what's in his heart, whether he hates. People fight and squabble, couples, and they live together for years and years. Are you going to say because the couple have an argument that they don't love each other? How can you say that? Because you chastise and yell at your children.
Well, and you know, that's a really good point, Don, and to relate that to couples. If a couple disagrees, it doesn't mean that they should get divorced. I mean, this is like saying what people are saying now when they say, you know, go back where you came from. It's almost as if you get into an argument or you disagree about a family decision, and that automatically should lead to divorce. And it shouldn't, because people should try to work things out, and they're entitled to their views.
Well, here's the point. The main topic, the main point I want to get across, and I hope there are a lot of people listening. There are two entities in this world, good and evil. You agree with that? There's righteous and there's wrong. If anybody with common sense should know that. Now, Donald Trump is not a Christian. I can say that.
No, we don't know that. We do not know that. No.
I'm gonna tell you how I know that. Let me tell you. I'm going to the Bible. What the Bible says, when we come down to our opinions, as they say, they're a dime a dozen, and everybody have one. But the Bible covers all opinions. So we revert to the Bible, God's word, in which our nation is built on, like the Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God, our money, our tender notes, in God we trust. If we are evangelicals and call ourselves Christians, then we ought to be standing on the word of God. Am I correct there so far?
Well, for people who believe in God, yes. They should stand by the word of God.
We have all these evangelicals supporting this plan. Now, Donald Trump has not shown one thing, not one thing you or anyone can tell me that is Christ-like or has any attributes of Christ or of a Christian. But he has portrayed all the characteristics and attributes of Satan. First of all, it said that Satan is the author of confusion.
Right.
Donald Trump had confusion.
But you started this conversation by saying you didn't know what was in somebody's heart, and I'm not. You know, I can look at some of the things that Donald Trump has done as a man. I can look at some of the things that I've done as a man, and you know, maybe people could argue that, well, you know, we're not Christian because we've sinned or because we did these things. But I don't know what lives in President Trump's heart. He's president and he's running for re-election, and so a lot of this has to do with re-election rhetoric. So I'm not going to say that President Trump is not a Christian.
No, it's not because of my opinion. It's what he said himself. He said he never asked God for forgiveness. That's a part of becoming a Christian.
Well, he did say that. He did say that during the campaign.
Oh, yes, he did. I know he said it. Yeah. Like I said, everything I'm saying can be fact-checked or substantiated, fact-checked by the media and everything else. And also, everything else I'm saying can be substantiated by the Word of God, by the Holy Bible, which is what we rest out all our morals and all our laws and come up from the Word of God.
And Don, I have to get to break here, but I know a lot of people agree with you, and I appreciate you bringing that up.
Well, there's a lot more. I'm sorry,
I'm sure there is. I know. I'm already late getting into the break, so I do have to go. But I do appreciate the call. Hey, if you're on hold, hang on. You got a comment? It's 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. Last night, Michael Bublé was awesome. I mean, he has such a great personality. That was the main part of the show. Big band sound. I posted a picture of a part of the video screen. It was a spherical, big giant spherical screen over the stage. And I put that on my Facebook page, SOTA, Scoot on the Air, so you can check that out. Michael Bublé wearing a black suit, white shirt, white carnation, black tie, Windsor knot, black pants and patent leather shoes. I mean, he looked like you would expect him to look. I was really surprised when this was the second song he played. His biggest hit. you know, usually a performer will wait until like maybe toward the end of the concert or maybe even make it the encore. But he played this as song number two, which I thought was really interesting. And I think it's because he doesn't want this hit to define him, because there were so many other things that he did that were not as pop-oriented as this hit. So I think that's why he did it early in the show. But, I mean, the crowd loved it. He said when he was 14 years old, he fell in love with Harry Connick Jr., and he told his parents, this is what I want to do, and this is what he's doing. And I love in the beginning when he talked about New Orleans and how much we have persevered and how strong we are and how we come together as a group and a unit and we pull together and we get through the tough times. And he built up this big buildup, and then he said, well, you know, I'm talking about the no call, right? So, I mean, he was very personable. Enjoy the concert last night. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. Charlie Manson said that the Beatles' music, like this song, Helter Skelter, inspired him to instruct people to go out and murder people. An author, journalist, and investigative reporter, Ivan Davis, one of the big experts on the Manson family, has something new out, and it's titled Manson Exposed, A Reporter's 50-Year Journey into Madness and Murder. And he is saying that from what he can determine, the Beatles' music is not to blame for inspiring the Manson murders. And it's interesting because, you know, back then when Manson was on trial, you know, people didn't think to blame the music. Charlie Manson said that. He said, the music made me do it. Back then, people said, hey, you're crazy. Well, he was crazy. But today, if somebody says, oh, the music made me do it, people go, oh, maybe so. Yeah, the music made him do it. And that's our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo poll. Do you believe that music can be blamed for murder or suicide? Give us your opinion by going to our website, WWL.com. Hey, it's a good thing this is radio and we're not face-to-face, because I've been snacking on roasted garlic hummus during the breaks. So we'll talk a little bit about music, and you think music can be blamed for murder or suicide. You know my stance on this. I don't think that's a fair assumption at all. So we continue our conversation, and it really is a lot about freedom of speech today, and a lot of people don't seem to really understand the basics of freedom of speech, and it means that we cannot agree. That's okay. Here's a text that says, oh, this is about Michael Bublé. Michael is gay, I think. Is he? No, Michael Bublé is traveling with his family this summer. I wonder what it's like. I mean, I wonder what it must be like for people to, like, if you're straight, think you're gay. I mean, I wonder, what could that be like? Here is a text that says, you love you some leather pants. Did I say Michael Bublé was wearing leather pants? Patent leather shoes. He was wearing black pants. He was wearing a black suit, but he's wearing patent leather shoes, not leather pants. Man, I haven't had leather pants in like 3 years, okay? I mean, I stopped wearing leather pants about 3 years ago. from Slidell. Hey, from Slidell. David, you're on WWL.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah, you said something about the old days just now. They think if you have a heart, you're gay. If you have any kind of heart, you're gay.
That's true.
That's true. And as far as freedom of speech, we talked about freedom of speech before, me and you, a long time ago. But freedom of speech means you have the right to express your opinion. I do not agree with the foul language, with the sexual language, just like that lady the other day on the TV, the P word and the F word and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. That's offensive to me. And if somebody would have done that when I was younger with my wife or my mom, I'd have blown my stack.
Yeah.
I feel that's offensive to people. Use what you've got in a good way.
Yeah.
If you've got a talent, use it in a good way, positive way. But those words are offensive to people. Yeah.
Well, you know, we should be able to. Yeah. David, I've got news coming up, so I have to end our conversation. And I didn't just decide to put the news here. The news is here all the time. Somebody yesterday suggested that what I do is I use the breaks to and conversations with people. No, I don't plan the format. Sometimes I'm quite often late going into a break because I keep people on the phone longer. So we'll continue this this conversation when we come back. If you want to join us with a comment, our number is 260-1870 and our text is 870-870. More of your text, more of your comments next on WWL. Here's another one of the songs that kind of came up during the Manson trial about influencing Charlie Manson to instruct his followers to commit the Manson murders. And again, this was at a time when people didn't buy this stuff. Now, you know, people go, oh, hey, the music. Yeah, it might be the music. Do you believe that music can be blamed for murder or for suicide? That's our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo poll. 60% say no. But I'm disturbed that 40% say yes. Give us your opinion by going to WWL.com. Here's a text that says, of course, killers in movies are not responsible for another's behavior. We each have the ability to think for ourselves. And Sir Paul would not be playing Helter Skelter on his current tour if he thought it would instigate violence. That is certainly true. And, of course, it doesn't instigate violence. If you get an idea from a song and you do something wrong, commit suicide or kill somebody as a result of the idea that you get, you decided to act on that idea, and you can't blame the entertainment. Here is a text that says, am I missing something? The U.S. ship repeatedly told the drone to stand down. Last time I checked, drones don't have anybody in them. Who are they talking to? Well, I guess they're talking to the Iranian government that is operating the drone. They're like, all right, to the drone, get out of the way. Stand down, stand down. Yeah, there's nobody in it. It's just there. But hey, you know what? If it didn't do what it was supposed to do and it was a threat to the U.S., shoot the damn thing down. Here is a text that says, Scoot, you say you are independent. Do you think your vote is a wasted vote? First of all, I don't say I'm independent. I am an independent voter. I am registered independent. That's not my opinion. That is a fact. And I'm very proud of it. But I vote for Republicans and Democrats. It doesn't mean I wouldn't vote for a third-party candidate, but it would have to be a third-party candidate that I agreed with and I thought they had a really good chance to win. I'm sure that will come up more when we get closer to the election if a third party runs. I don't know that is going to happen, but I mean it could. But I mean, I could not bring myself to call myself a Republican or a Democrat. I couldn't do it. And my God, for those of you who think I'm so damn liberal, I mean, I can't bring myself to call myself a Democrat or a Republican. So I'm registered as an independent. Hey, Hubig Pies are coming back. This is great news. We've got the story on our website, WWL.com. And with the world the way it is today, I'm sure there's going to be some kind of survey on which flavor Hubig Pie do Trump supporters support the most? And which Hubig Pie flavor do Trump haters support the most? I mean, that's the world we live in. I would not be surprised if that happened. I wouldn't be surprised if we get into arguments on this show about which Hubig Pie flavor is the best. And people would argue, you should not like that. See, this is really kind of a metaphor for how we are as Americans now. It's not that, you know, you can just eat whatever Hubig Pie flavor you want. No, it's like people tell you which flavor you should like. And that's very much the way it is with politics. I should be able to eat whatever Hubig Pie I like. You might not like it. You don't have to eat it. But don't tell me what Hubig Pie to eat. From Metairie, Daryl, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Daryl. Thanks for hanging on.
Hey, I just want to know, I'm a black Democrat, and I want Omar to go back, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The thing she said about the Israel, you know, I can't forgive her for that, you know?
Okay.
I think she, don't forget, I'm a black Democrat, so it's not a race issue here, okay?
Yeah.
Not only that, a group of us black Democrats, we're going up to, okay? We're going up north. We're going to protest in front of the Capitol, okay? So, in Minnesota. So it's not a race issue, okay?
Well, you know, I do think, I mean, there's no question, Daryl, that some people judge people based on skin color. But look,
but
Congresswoman Omar, but she has said a lot of things that would make people not like her, regardless of her skin color. I mean, if she was white and said these things, people would hate her too.
So what she want? Does Omar want another Holocaust? Did she want another Holocaust? That's what she wants? She's talking about Israel like that? You know, we going up there, we're going to protest against her.
Okay.
She was talking against Israel like that. I don't think I can see she must want another Holocaust.
Daryl, would you do this? Look, if you go up there, I want you to call me. If we're on the air when you're protesting, I want you to call the show while you're up there protesting.
That's right. Black Democrats protesting against Omar. Okay. Pass it on. Thank you. And have a great day.
All right, Daryl. Appreciate the call. Here's a text that says, the small round lemon pie was the best. Another text says, the best is coconut, by the way. No, the best isn't coconut. No, and you know what? You shouldn't even be eating coconut. I mean, nobody should be eating a coconut Hubie pie. You shouldn't. Coconut is not the best. You should like what I like. I like the apple. The lemon's okay, too. I'm not crazy about the chocolate, I definitely am not that crazy about the coconut. So you should not eat those pies. I don't like the peach either. You should like what I like. And you should not be allowed to eat what I don't like. See, that's kind of like the way we argue with politics and social issues. It's not so much that we disagree. It's that we want to tell people what they should like and what they shouldn't like. Okay, last night, Michael Bublé did something really funny. I guess it was about 20 minutes into the concert. And he said, okay, thank you all very much. Good night. Show's over. Enjoyed being here. And he said, look, I don't know what the pot laws are here, but it's legal in Vancouver, British Columbia, where he's from. He said he did the show in Vancouver, British Columbia. And after 20 minutes, he said, okay, show's over. And he said, man, people in the audience were going, oh, wow, man. That was really a great show. I mean, it's like because they were stoned, they didn't even realize there was only 20 minutes. That was funny. The guy has a really great sense of humor. There was one moment. I mean, this is a nice song that he sang last night, but it's kind of sad. I mean, it kind of tugged at my heart a little bit because in the background there was video of a child's room. This is about loving your kids. And it showed a child's room, and then it showed a slightly older child's room, the same room, and then the same room as the child got older. No children, just a little older. And then when the child was a teenager, and it progressed, and then toward the end, they were moving boxes because the child was moving out. I mean, really, Michael, come on, man. Don't tug at my heart like that. I want to go be entertained. I don't want to get sad. Anyway, it was a nice moment. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. All right, so here's a song that I guess a lot of people would want to sing this song to Congresswoman Omar from the Trump rally last night. I'm Scoot. We're talking about freedom of speech in America. Hubie pies are coming back. It may be next year, but that's good. It's going to be they're going to have a plant in Jefferson Parish. And also, there is an expert who is an expert on the Manson family, and he has concluded that the Beatles songs did not inspire. It's not fair to blame the Beatles songs for inspiring Charlie Manson to tell those people to go out and commit those crimes. Here is a text that says, just because you like those songs doesn't mean listeners do. No, but they should. I mean, if I like a song, you should like it. And if you don't like it, too bad, I'm playing it. And you should love it. You know, I mean, really, that's kind of the way we act with politics, which is a shame. Here is a text that says, if you're going to get all bent out of shape, apple is okay, lemon is my favorite, until coconut now, settle down. No, I mean, you should like what I like, right? You should believe what I believe with politics. We should all believe the same thing. Here's the text that says, chocolate is the best. You racist. Look, I love chocolate, but I don't care for chocolate cubic pies, okay? And I don't think you should like them either. The apple, the lemon are better. From Madisonville, Blaze, you're on WWL.
Okay, Scoot. The one thing I disagree with you on is I think you should always vote for the party. Wherever you are, if you're at, you know, that party, you know, I think partying is a lot better than working. So you should stay with the party you're at and party.
Bogus.
You go to another party.
Bogus.
You go to another party, you don't know who's there. So party.
All right, Blaze, I got the message. No, this came up because I said I'm registered independent, and somebody said, well, do you think your vote's wasted? No, my vote's not wasted because I vote for a Republican or a Democrat. I'm not against voting for a third-party candidate if the right third-party candidate is running. But I'm registered as an independent because I could not bring myself to share either of those titles. There was a moment last night, the Michael Bublé concert, where this girl was a great singer. It's like he went and picked somebody in the audience. But I mean, I really think that, you know, this was kind of a plant, which was okay. I mean, it was fine because she said it was her unbirthday, and he said, "Well, what's unbirthday?" And she said, "Have you ever seen Alice in Wonderland?" He said, "No, I don't do drugs." And a little bit later, he said, "You know," he said, he used the S word, not the F word, but he said, "Blank you, if you don't want to stand up and dance." But he said, "He said it's okay." He says, "You said that's what you should say to me. You know, blank, I don't want to dance. I may not want to." So he was giving people permission to not get up and dance. He said, "If you're not moving because you're so polite," he said, "you're just like the people of Canada." I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. Last night, Michael Bublé took time to honor everybody who has served in our military, those who are currently serving and those who have served. And he honored those who have loved ones who are currently serving. And there were a lot of really nice videos in the background of individuals kind of just looking off in the distance because they were representing those who had loved ones away, and showed some servicemen as well. His personality was really amazing. I mean, it was a fun concert and very talented. I posted a picture of the video screen, which is very spherical. I mean, I've never seen a video screen like this. It was very innovative, the way they did the video. But check that out. It's on my Facebook page, SOTA, Scoot on the Air. And also, last night, you know, a lot of you may not know this, but Don Fox was recognized by Michael Bublé. Don Fox and Barry Leff of Beaver Productions, they started Beaver Productions a long time ago. They were running The Warehouse. I mean, these guys are classic, iconic rock minds. And Don Fox really discovered Michael Bublé and brought him to where he is today. And it was kind of cool, like, you know, the other day going to the Rolling Stones and then last night going to Michael Bublé. And I know Neil Norman went to the Stones and went to Michael Bublé, and I'm sure others did as well. And it was, it's great to experience so many different kinds of music. Here's a text that says, this is about Hubie Pies. "I ate one chocolate pie and haven't gone back." Interesting, because you know what they say. You don't want to eat a chocolate pie. From the West Bank, Nancy, you're on WWL.
Yeah, hi, Scoot.
Hey.
I was just wondering if you knew why Hubie's Pies, why they're moving to Metairie and they're not rebuilding in their original location.
Well, the original location is currently condominiums, so it's already been built up. And I'm sure from a business standpoint, when it was originally built, Nancy, I'm sure it made sense. But, you know, now financially, I guess there are benefits to building it where it is. So as long as they taste the same, who cares where they come from?
Yeah, I love the lemon.
You like the lemon? Which one do you hate? Which one do you hate the most?
Coconut.
Yeah. I'm telling you,
I mean,
I love
lemon. I'll eat apple, I'll eat chocolate, but
yeah.
Lemon has always been my favorite.
All right. Well, Nancy, I'm glad you called. Ian Hoke just responded to that because he apparently loves the coconut. Here's a text that responds to a call we had just a moment ago. "You should always stick with your party, Scoot. The Beastie Boys fought for that right. Amen." Here's a text that says, "There's only one party. They just use the D and the R to keep the sheep in line." Hey, you know what? Sad, but true. Okay, come join me on Facebook. I've been really busy and haven't been that active on my Facebook page recently, but I'll get back into it. It's SOTA, Scoot, on the Air. And I'll post a video on there in just a little while. But also, it's the video that we post on the WWL Radio Facebook page as well. And I like to comment on our WWL Facebook page as well. I want to thank our program director, Diane Newman, our show producer, Todd Manassas, and studio producer, Ian Hoke. Thank you for being part of the show. Sports Talk, Bobby and Christian next. Defensive end, Cam Jordan at 5:20. Have a great afternoon. Love you, New Orleans.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.